This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me.
Just one look at you. Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Martin Kilcoin in the house. Before we get to Martin, I want to thank the good people from Waterloo. And they have the Waterloo Flea Market. They've provided pastries for us today. They say it's not Annie Gunn's, but it's from Annie's Bakery in Waterloo. And we appreciate them. It's outstanding food. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Iggy was standing out there. Normally when there's bakery items or fresh food, it's from Iggy's Kitchen. I sort of prefer the folks who do it for a living. No offense. I love Iggy. I love Iggy. But sometimes his food that's sitting out, I'm like, did you make this?
This is
no offense.
That's because there's photos of him baking maybe with not a whole lot of clothes.
Now, there
is.
Correct.
And that was proof, alarming. Proof. But yeah. I have eaten Iggy's cooking in the past. He is very good. However, every time I bring him, I brought him brownies yesterday for everybody.
Hold on. Plowsy brownies might be a little different than Martin and Frank brownies.
I would never do that to anybody, although I think it would be funny. I would still not do that to him. I had regular brownies with the, they were like triple fudge or whatever. But the I bet you a half dozen times they're wondering if Iggy brought those in. And I think, I disagree. I think Iggy's a fantastic cook. And that one picture gives him a bad rap, although he was in his
underwear. Cook naked one time, Frank, you're labeled for life.
Who ever cooks naked? I mean,
just
don't you
want to
put on a pair of slacks and a sweatshirt at least?
By the way, I would like the Plowsy brownie that may be a little bit augmented slip to Frank one morning. And then I want to listen to the monologue. Hey, man, Mozilla, he's totally chill. He didn't do anything wrong.
I love Monique.
Probably after that three morning in a row, what was that, vodka?
Yeah, we've had morning drinks.
Yeah, I've been under the influence. And then the one time I swear I took one of those oxycodone.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
And got Rush Limbaugh over here.
I'm sending like love texts to Monique.
And me and Brian.
Telling the kids how much they mean. I even sent one to Andy Moeller. Wow. Oxy.
Let's tee that up for Frank. I want to see a Frank model. We should have like Frank on oxycodone. I love these Cardinals. Frank, they're 20 games under. But those unis are so beautiful.
Do that in July. That's a slow time for sports talk radio. There's not much going on in July. So that could spur ratings and get – so I could put like opening monologue in the label in the podcast and then parentheses what Frank took that day. So then we can see what – opening monologue, parentheses, Vicodin. Opening monologue, parentheses, vodka.
All right, there's a lot of video out there from over the weekend. Have you guys seen the video of Brett walking Market Street at 3 in the morning?
I found out
it's
that's not Brett.
Are you sure?
We have a lot of texters, because I mentioned yesterday that was my favorite moment of the weekend. Number of texters chiming in saying that wasn't Brett. I, however, choose to believe that it was. I refuse to believe it wasn't, because that just makes Brett all the more cool.
You're talking 3 a.m.
So it's a guy. I didn't give it the Zapruder film breakdown yet.
Neither did I.
But it looks like it's Brett Hull walking down the middle of Market Street.
Alone?
Yes. And some people are already kind of lining the streets. And somebody yells, it's Brett. We need to look closer at this. Because if it's true, then the legend grows.
Well, don't you think we could spot Brett? I mean, if we looked at that tape, we could tell off the bat if that's Brett Hull.
This is terrible radio. Entertain yourselves. Have a hot take. Drive it in
your
car.
He was wearing white.
I do have a hot take about this. Just because I hate those people, or we call them that guy. 99% of people, St. Louisans, thought this was Brett Hull. I love the people after the fact, knowing it wasn't, you know, bashing people to say that they thought it was Brett Hull. It clearly looks exactly like it's, regardless.
I didn't give it a deep look. I thought it was him.
It looked exactly like him.
Plus, the idea fit. I mean,
it was great. Yeah.
They said, basically, it's Brett Hull at 3 in the morning walking down Market Street. I said, awesome. That's got to be him.
Okay, here it is.
All right, let's see. Frank, come
on
over.
Plowsy,
give us a hot take.
He does admittedly look a little portly. Plowsy, talk about John Mozeliak and how much you hate him. And then
it's tough. Got a tough job. Pressure.
Yeah, it's kind of as if Chaser and Hull had a baby.
But he's walking as if that's a Brett Hull style, cocky, drunk.
Yeah,
I think his hair's too brown than that.
Yeah, I don't think that's Brett. But what I'd like to know...
Did you listen to it? Because somebody's saying, listen to his voice. It sounds nothing like him.
Okay.
Oh, I see the source of the video. I should have known better. But, it's my bad.
But I'm wondering now, did they try and stage it? So they were trying to, or did somebody take it and say, wow, I just saw Brett Hull? Or did somebody say, hey, buddy,
get out? I
think
the original poster, or
believed it?
Actually thought it was Brett Hull. I don't think there was any joke to it. But then, obviously, I think soon people found out that it wasn't. But, I mean, I just want to believe it because it's so great. It
it's
looks
perfect.
Like he's owning the city right there. It's
four,
fantastic.
4 months from now, it's Halloween. How many people are going as Brett Hull?
That
like
guy should
Stanley go. Cup Brett Hull, okay?
Wow. You got to get that shirt. Was it the Ric Flair? And
middle
the
finger stuff.
Flipping off the yeah. Bruins. You got to get that shirt.
Him singing Gloria was one of the most awkward, but yeah. at the same time, epic things of all
you know,
time.
You know, the thing about it is when we're watching it here, it's kind of cute and, you know, it's okay. But then yesterday, you know, you're watching the ESPN, the national talk shows, not Pardon the Eruption, but those other ones that are crappy right before it. And then they're playing it. I don't like that.
Yeah,
much.
You don't want to be a punchline when you're one of the greatest players in the history of the game, yeah. the history of the franchise. I think the funny part is, I don't think he cares.
And he,
yeah, you're right.
I don't think he cares at all. He's like, hey, man, I'm having fun. You want to make fun of me? Go right ahead.
He plays fetch with a dog in his underwear, and if you already go golf every day, Brett Hull is a legend. He's my spirit animal, and he should not care about what the pundits on ESPN say.
Frank, who's your spirit animal?
Oh, it's that. Brett Hull, baby.
Spirit animal. The columnist in Toronto for the Toronto Sun, who wrote Globe or the Sun, one of those, who wrote the piece saying their parade was a disaster. And not just the shooting. Obviously, that's the main problem with the parade. But there were bathroom and water, and he said it was lacked entertainment. And basically said the parade was terrible. It was a serious column, especially when you have a shooting involved. But in that serious column he referenced, and we didn't even have Brett Hull or something, he even threw it into that column in Toronto
wow.
saying
now,
we're minus Brett Hull.
I didn't watch you see the still pictures and a couple 30-second videos. I didn't really realize how unprepared they were. They didn't have a video board or anybody.
In Toronto, you mean?
Yeah, to watch the parade because obviously not everybody has that perfect front row view. And the Blues did a great job of, you know, obviously extending it too. It looked a little bit more compact in Toronto. And you weren't able to actually see it unless you were right there on the – I just – how do you oversee something like that? People are going down there to see it. You obviously want a secondary source like a video board or a couple screens to show the festivities. No entertainment aspect.
You said there was
whatsoever.
Lack of water, lack of hydration. I'm like, there wasn't a lot of water Saturday, but everybody was hydrated. Everybody yeah. was plenty hydrated. All right, let's do it. Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, you are Jeff Albert. By the way, welcome to the show. Good to have you. Cards hitting coach. Have you been pestering, coaching, telling Matt Carpenter that's how you beat the shift? Have you been working it? Have the coaches been doing this saying,
are you talking
come
about
on.
The home run that he hit?
No, I'm talking.
That beats the shift too, Martin.
No. To get that, when there's nobody on the left side of the infield, just put one over there. Or is that Matt's idea?
I think that's more Matt's idea. And I think when your average is 218, you just got to figure it out. You have a whole left side of the infield completely wide open. Just lay it down. Yeah, I think it's more Matt.
Wasn't that a cool moment,
that
though?
That was cool.
And
yeah.
to make it into a double. I think Chris Gardner even approved of the bunt at that point. He gave a waiver to the anti-buntites that was okay. All right, NHL Awards Wednesday. Let's just go through them. Does Berube win? And it's before the playoffs, so
yeah.
probably not.
He's the best coach in the league, but he's not going to win.
And don't you think you're penalized for the fact that you weren't there all season?
Yeah.
So it's hard to give somebody a season-long award, even though they were an interim. All right, Ryan O'Reilly... For
Selke,
the Selke,
yes.
yes. Lady Bing, probably not because you're not going to win both.
Yeah.
If you had to guess. Doug Armstrong.
I think he'd have to win.
Because it was so, I mean, the team that made the playoffs.
And all those moves in July.
Right, it was
and
a roster overhaul.
A little bit later.
I think the Boston GM is on there. And that team has been, for the most part, intact. I think
yeah.
they added Charlie Coyle, but... Tuukka
Rask
has been there for like...
your best player, Ryan O'Reilly, via a blockbuster trade. That alone should win it. And then you added, you know, some other pieces like Perron and Bozak.
Boston had a great player development, though. Pasternak and all those guys. So I understand, but it got to be Army. He probably had... The Shen and O'Reilly trade are probably the...
Well, Shen won't
five.
Count this year, but
no,
yeah.
No, but I'm saying it just the most
help build it.
Trade. Yeah,
yeah,
it just builds his reputation.
Because the Boston thing, that's... The core has been in place. That's what's weird about it.
Yeah.
And then the Carolina GM, I can't break down the Canes roster because I don't want to show up strict. We'll do that tomorrow.
What do you mean? Justin but Williams. And
I would
those
think
guys.
I would think Army's got a pretty good shot at winning that. So Berube probably not. Army maybe. What about Binnington?
Yes. Well, he didn't join till January 7th or as a starter. But gosh, what rookie could
yeah, the
come
kid
close
on the,
to the impact?
The Canucks, they're saying, the Pedersen kid has been good. The popular one, but that he faded a little bit down the stretch. I don't know. When a goalie comes in and has those numbers, like insanely good numbers, I would say my gut, if you're a betting man, Frank, if your family's life depended on it, would you say he wins? I think Benning-
I would bet that way. I wouldn't bet, period, but if you're making me bet, I would go Bennington.
If you point to one guy that won the Stanley Cup for the Blues, I know it's obviously way more than one, but Bennington is the number one on the list.
Remember, before the playoffs. But I think.
But even then, he carried them up into the playoffs.
His record was so gaudy.
It's unbelievable.
All right, number three, you are the girl that was barfed on, lack of a better term. Ooh. Are you asking for anything in return? Maybe some tickets to the home opener when they raise the banner?
I see.
Don't you have a little bit of leverage if you were this nice young lady?
Signed jersey.
Don't you think?
Season tickets.
You're calling.
Jeez.
Wait a minute. He just went from signed jersey to season tickets.
She did get thrown up on. She deserves something.
Well, that's brutal. And she didn't even have that reaction. She didn't you didn't see like a lot of gyrations or histrionics right afterwards. She just kind of like took one for the team.
I got to tell you, when they're lining up and saying, all right, who's driving what car? I think I would say I'll drive Bo Meester because I don't want to get beer spilled on me. I don't want to get Ralphed on. Wouldn't you sign up for that? Although it's a lot of fun with the guys who are crazy.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Martin, is normally the drivers are just, people that work at the dealership, something like that. I saw Tom Suntrup. He was driving one of them. I saw Tom Pappas from Pappas Toyota. And I say, guys, hold it right here for a second. I got to do an interview. So, yeah, the owners wanted to be a part of this, too.
Matt Offenberg's dad, Jamie Offenberg.
He drove?
He was driving along, yes.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how
many
people.
You want to give it to your service manager? No, I'll take this one.
I recognize a few Suntrips going by there. All right, you are Luke Voigt. You're probably going to the All-Star game. They love you in New York. But did any part of you watch the Pat Maroon Love Fest and say, gosh, I kind of wish I was crushing it in St. Louis? Or do you got it so good in New York,
you don't
care?
I think I'm in Yankee Stadium and I'm going to play on a championship team. I'm glad I'm where I'm at.
Think you're like, thank you, Chasen Shreve and was Gallegos or Cabrera? I get it all mixed up. Was Gallegos that one? Because he's pretty good. Cabrera?
Yes, Gallegos was that one.
Hennessy's was Tampa.
Yeah.
Hennessy's is lefty.
Yes.
Hennessy's is bad. Gallegos is good.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the Rays would kill to have Hennessy's Cabrera back in.
I mean, he's sitting there right now, I think, with 17 home runs? Yeah, 17 home runs, 45 RBIs. And then Brian will appreciate these things. OBP 385, slugging 502, and an 887 OPS.
Yeah, I guess if the Cards were in first place and on some kind of pennant drive, you'd say, gosh, I wish I could be like Maroon and be that guy. But when you're sitting there in New York, Cards are just kind of hovering around 500, probably not much regret.
Just imagine the guys you're hitting with every day in BP sessions. You remember the New York freaking Yankees.
Right.
Gosh.
Maybe it'll be like the Backus story, and the Cardinals will have to beat Luke Voigt to get the title, huh? Wow.
But I don't think Luke's going to be a healthy scratch from the World Series.
This is the most optimistic take I've ever heard from Martin. Cardinals are going to beat the Yankees in the World Series.
It's all related to hockey, right?
There you go. It's now reversed now. Strick complained that everything went back to the Cardinals during the Blues run. Now everything will go back to the Blues.
They'll win a World Series within 8 years.
There you go.
Ooh, I'm writing that down. Strick was way off. All right, number five. Change the Cardinals season with the current roster. What could change it? Is it Jack Flaherty becoming a super stud?
I'd say go Carlos Martinez as a stud starting pitcher.
Ed Martinez. That's your best bet.
I don't know if I'd say that's going to happen, but it's a possibility. It's feasible.
Because I don't see any huge outside piece coming in. So you're looking at it saying, yeah, they're okay. But what changes? Maybe Goldschmidt goes on some incredible tear. I guess he's sort of due to kind of take over. And by the way, Frank and I were both in there. Players don't want to talk. It's a day after they're back from a road trip. We're just kind of hanging out. Who's one of the biggest names in that clubhouse? It's Paul Goldschmidt. He's just a consummate pro. You know, just kind of stops, talks to everybody. And even in the Derek Gould piece, which was all about the trade issues they've had, Derek pointed out that he offered a chair for the reporter to sit in, and then he took one from a teammate's locker so that if the teammate was mad, they'd have to be mad at Goldschmidt instead of the reporter. Like, he's totally just thinking ahead.
He's just a polite, decent human being. He really is.
Yeah, 100% polite. 100% polite. All right, Five for Frank, brought to you each day by Greenville University.
All right, we're going to take a break in just a minute. We're going to get to Joey Vitale now, or what do you think?
He's got to be off by 11:29. He just texted me, so let's go to him now.
Okay, let's go to Joey
now. How about his season? First, you're in the booth, and they win the Stanley Cup. If I'm Kelly Chase, I'm sending Vitale. I'm having fun with it, but I'm probably sending him a few texts saying, are you freaking kidding me? Because it was Chaser 19 years?
Yeah.
19 years in the booth. Vitale steps in first year. They win. It's like Torrey Holt as a rookie. They win the Super Bowl.
How about Jim Thomas? His second year doing it, right?
Yeah.
Second year on the beat.
Finally, the karma's coming back after all those Mizzou years.
How about Ahmad Rams Hicks? He's never really watched the Blues much up until now. He told us that. And now he covers the team and they win a Stanley Cup.
He's busy following the LA Rams roster moves.
Oh, my gosh.
Meanwhile, the Blues win the Stanley Cup.
We have to straighten him out.
Frank claims Joey because he's Italian. I claim him because of CBC.
He joins us now. Joey, what's your physical health like after a weekend of celebrating?
Oh, it's not doing good, guys. No, I'm actually doing a lot better. But the first couple days, my liver, it needed a breather. So by day three, I finally took a little bit of a breath and now doing much, much better.
Now, you're not in Vegas, are you?
Believe it or not, I'm in Disney World. So we won. I always wanted to come to Disney World as a player. I wanted to win the Stanley Cup and come to my family and say, hey, guys, we're going to Disney World. I never did it as a player. But as a broadcaster, it's just as good. I went there Saturday night. We won. And then we had the parade. And I told my kids and my wife, guys, we're going to Disney World. 7 a.m. Sunday, literally like 8 hours after we left the parade, we're on a flight directly to Orlando. And I'm actually in Disney World right now. We're actually at the Frozen show in Hollywood Studios. And it's about to start here in about 6 or 7 minutes. So the kids are super geeked up.
Awesome. Hey, give us an idea on will you have the cup as a broadcaster for a couple hours, and will you get a ring?
You know what? Those are two questions, Frank, that I have no idea about. I have not asked yet, and truthfully, it's just been so much chaos. I haven't even thought about asking those kind of questions. I think we do get a ring, and I am not sure about the cup day or even for a couple hours. Again, this is all things that St. Louis and being a part of the Blues organization we've never had to deal with before, so these are a lot of questions that I'm sure are pretty much unanswered for a lot of people around the city.
All right, be honest. At any point, did Kelly Chase say, you son of a – you come in here, your first friggin' year, and they win the cup? Are you? This doesn't happen every year, son.
Kelly's never said it to my face. I'm sure he said some things behind my back. But no, Kelly's been super terrific. You know, not only that, but super helpful and supportive in this whole role. But, you know, knowing Kelly, I bet there was a couple times that when I was on stage or on the radio, he'd love just to come in the booth and just deck me across the jaw. No question about that.
So you took part in all the parties, right? So were you at OB's and the Wheelhouse? Tell me what you've done.
So, yeah, we got in. So, obviously, the plane ride was maybe the most spectacular event, seeing that. I mean, I was telling someone the other day, you know, all those rules as far as flights go, as far as, you know, got to have your tray table up, you got to be seated with your seatbelt, pretty much throw every one of those rules out the window because it just does not exist. It was a complete party coming home. That night, guys went to the Enterprise Center, and then the following day, we went to OB's. I got there about 4. I finally got some sleep that morning. We went to OB's right after that. The guys went to Clayton on the roof, and then I had to skip out on that. But then I ended up going down to Anheuser-Busch. I got a call late saying, hey, come on down. You got to go to Anheuser-Busch. We're signing this brewery thing. I did that. My gosh, guys, it was just a nonstop party. As soon as you think it was going to wind down, these players are going to get some sleep, it seemed like there was one more other location they were trying to get to. It was just absolutely insane. It was a party that never ended. And then to think after the parade, guys went directly to Vegas. I literally have no idea when these guys are sleeping. It's pretty remarkable.
Did you have a gut before Game 7, like, hey, they're going to do it. They're going to win this game. Or are you like the rest of us just all nervous and saying, God, it could go anyway?
No, honestly, after the first 5 to 6 minutes when the Bruins had about 3 or 4 grade-A chances and they did not go in, I looked over at Chris Kerber and John Kelly. I said, we're going to win this game. And you asked him, I swear to God. I go, we're going to win this game. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy because the Bruins were just all over us. I said they weren't scoring those goals. And to me, championship games come down to that bounce. And you got to have the hockey gods on your side. And I looked at about 3 or 4 grade-A chances for the Bruins that didn't go in. I just remember thinking, like, the Bruins are not getting that bounce. And I'm looking up at the scoreboard. I'm looking at the shots are like 8 or 9 to 1 in favor of the Bruins. I'm looking at Tuukka Rask on the other end. He's getting cold. He's not active in the game. I'm thinking, geez, if we go down here, we get a soft goal, you never know what's going to happen. And sure enough, O'Reilly gets that tip, a bit of a soft goal. Pietrangelo then, at right before the period ends, a bit of another softer goal. And I knew at that point it was true. Those bounces were not going the Bruins' way. They were going all in the Blues' favor, and they really never looked back at that moment.
Joey, what do you think Doug Armstrong has to do this offseason?
I would say nothing. I mean, honestly, I look at this offseason like I look at, you know, what he did at the deadline. I think he took a chance on these guys. I think he doubled down at the deadline, and look how it kind of panned out. I mean, there's a couple guys that are up for sure. Joel Edmondson's up. Pat Maroon's up. Carl Gunnarsson's up. Do you bring Joel Edmondson back? I think so. Carl Gunnarsson, you know, he's been a player that's been hurt a lot this year. That's got decision for Doug Armstrong, what he's got to make. But then you look at Gunnarsson and how well he did throughout the stretch. He kind of really solidified that top pair throughout the playoff end. Pat Maroon, a St. Louis kid. I mean, we would never be here if it wasn't for Pat Maroon's goal to send the Blues to the Western Conference Final. I mean, that's got to be worth something, too. I mean, a lot of decisions. I mean, a lot of them that comes down to, I think, minor decisions. You got your goaltender, right? You're going to sign him. You got your coach. You're going to sign him. I think the core is coming back. The Shens, the O'Reilly, the Tarasenko, the Petrangelo, all under contract. It's just some of those kind of flurry guys like Edmondson, Maroon, that need to be kind of sorted out. And Doug's going to be busy this offseason. There's no question he's probably going to bring in a new face or two, maybe lose a face or two. But I would say the core is pretty solidified and should all come back.
We've all seen the video of Chief Craig Berube before Game 7, just epic and just so F-bomb lace, not for the kids. How often, and I know it's only, I mean, Game 7 only happens in that moment, very rarely Stanley Cup Final, but how often have you had a coach that delivers an incredibly passionate, fiery, maybe profanity-laced speech? How often does that happen during a season or during the playoffs?
Well, hardly ever. I mean, the professionals in the NHL are at this level. You shouldn't need to get them pumped up that much. But that is a moment. Game 7, Stanley Cup Final, you need to get fired up. And I thought Craig did an incredible job. I thought he did an incredible job getting this team motivated all year. You know, he's figured out what every coach in this league is essentially trying to figure out. How do you get these young kids who make millions of dollars motivated to play aggressive? I mean, that's essentially it. Because skill-wise, across the board, every team is relatively the same. But really it comes down to those intangibles, like working hard and being aggressive. And it's not the easiest thing to do, but he really has gotten that switch flipped on this team. I think it goes back to his resume. I think it goes back to his identity and his simple message. But he's figured out a way to do it, and I love that video as well, heading into Game 7 right there. And this is a team, had him up on the parade. We were asking some questions, and I looked at it, and I looked at the players behind him, and they're all just chanting, Chief, Chief, Chief. They're fighting for this guy, and that's another thing. You want your players to fight for your head coach. That's so, so important. And this team has figured that out.
Last thought, then you can put on your Mickey Mouse ears, Joey Vitale. everybody talked about how Chris Kerber did that nice gesture for John Kelly. You also did a nice gesture. You wanted Darren Pang to be a part of a Stanley Cup broadcast also.
You know, it was a great gesture by Chris. And at the end of the day, this isn't about me. And Kerb said it's not about him. This isn't about our broadcast. It's not about self-glorification of anyone. It's about the team. And I really consider these people my family. I know Kerb feels the same way. And that's really the mindset from the ownership. And it trickles down to the coaches, the players, and the broadcast crew, and everyone involved. This Blues group and this organization is just very, very special in that sense that it really does feel like a family. And I'm up there calling a game with Kerb and John Kelly. And I look over to the booth next to me, and Panger's just taking notes. And it just – something didn't sit right with me. It didn't feel right. You know, Darren's been such a role model for me and just a good friend of mine all year long. And it just didn't feel right that he wasn't a part of this. So I got a hold of him. I said, hey, dude, I want you involved. I don't want the press to know about it. I don't want the Blues to know about it. I just want you to sit down with me and Kelly. And he's your partner. You guys have been grinding this thing out together. It would mean a lot to me if you were a part of it. And he obviously accepted graciously. And it was a good moment, I think, for the KMOX crew and the Fox Sports crew just to all come together as a family that we do truly feel like we are. So it was a cool moment for sure.
Good stuff. Enjoy it. Thanks so much for your time, Joey.
Anytime, guys. Enjoy.
All right, Joey Vitale joining us.
What if I told you a year ago, Frank, not only that the Blues would finally win the Stanley Cup, but a former NHL player from St. Louis named Joey Vitale would be in the booth, a part of the call. Talk about out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And remember when that, how many guys did we speculate that could be former Blues, that could be getting that gig, and who's going to be in the booth? We named every name possible, and then it came right down to it, and we're like, Joey Vitale, CBC, Penguins, played in the league. seemingly out of nowhere, but another one that just struck the right chord.
And in the meantime, our Cam Jansen here at KFNS has done a magnificent job for us radio-wise, for us on the TV side, and he does more hits with more broadcast outlets, I think, than anybody in St. Louis.
Yeah, I would say more hits, Plowsy or Cam, tied for first.
And on the topic of people who seem to be enjoying themselves on Saturday, Cam is holding a bottle of champagne throughout most of the parade, seemed to be one of those.
Are we sure that wasn't him walking down Market Street at 3:30?
No, Cam is much slimmer. All right, for all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 855-260-EYES. Dr. Jones, longtime friend of the show, practices complete eye care in the metro area. From routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery, Dr. Jones can get it done for you. Board-certified ophthalmology professor at SLU, sees patients at several locations. When you call them, please tell them that I sent you. We'll be right back.